pray this prayer with all your might over your life and your destiny. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against every evil arrow fired at my destiny. I command them to be diverted by your fire. Let those arrows of the enemy fall. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Lift your two hands to heaven. Pray this over your life. Almighty God, I decree and declare, if I am following every wrong way, change my direction by your holy fire. Every deception from the pit of hell, I flush them away from my life. Go ahead and begin to pray for yourself. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Lift up your right hand, say with me, in the name of Jesus Christ, no evil arrangement against my divine destiny will ever be fulfilled. Every arrangement against me and my family, it shall fail. It will not succeed. Pray for the last time. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And let me hear the loudest three amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Be seated. Now God has been talking with us and building a very strong foundation as we flew in here. Our spirit and our prayer for all of you here is that you will continue steadfastly in the principles of the kingdom. Now today I'm sharing with us laying the foundation for planning. Laying the foundation for planning. Why God calls every one of us to plan. Many aspects of our envisioned future can be influenced or can be changed by the decisions or the actions that we make. The actions that you make today, the decisions you make today can affect your future, can affect the stability of your life. For you as a child of God, it is not just only projecting, but also planning well about your life. When you realize that your plans and your projection can only succeed by prayer and by obedience, then you need to put everything that you need to put in place to make sure that you develop the necessary ingredient to make you successful in your planning life. That's why God has been emphasizing to all of us this year that one very strong thing you must stay on is prayer and obedience. Prayer and obedience is what is going to make your planning and all your projection to be successful. Prayer and obedience is the catalyst, is the force that is going to help you to bring about a future that lines up with the will of God, a future that lines up with the plan of God for your life. Through prayer, the framework for plan is established. It is when you seek the face of God, you understand the plan of God for your life. And so implementing strategy requires that you continue to stay daily in the presence of God so that you can have clear direction from God, so that God will be able to give you the clear insight and then the actions you need to take. It is at the place of prayer. We've studied that on prayer, what prayer does over our lives. It creates the atmosphere where we get direction and instruction from the presence of God. And I've told us this, that whatever God is going to do in the life of anybody, what God does is to give you an instruction. If you cannot hear and take instruction, then there is no success and there is no progress in your life. And so obedient, or an obedient action in response to what God reveals, it's what opens you up to the blessings of God. One of the questions that many people, you know, have wrestled with is, should we as believers plan the future? Based on the book of James chapter 4 and verse 14. Should we as children of God plan the future? But then you realize that what James chapter 4 and verse 14 is talking about is that it doesn't stop us from planning. But rather what the scriptures is trying to tell us is, don't plan outside God. Don't plan without God. Don't do anything outside the will of God. Don't ever say that you're going to get certain things done without God. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. And then we say, I'm going to do this thing without the grace of God. I will do so and so. I'll plan so and so. I'm going to achieve so and so without the grace of God. But what the scriptures is saying is that everything you do, whatever you plan in your life, make sure that God takes the center stage of your life. The real issue is not whether we should plan. It is whether we will put God's will first in our planning. The planning for our family. The family for our business, the planning for our businesses and our career. Always referring back to God's wisdom and to God's control. When you allow the wisdom of God to take center stage in your life, then that means that you're allowing God to show you the way. God is a planner. And that's why the Bible testified to us that before the foundation of the earth, God had made his plan. God had put everything in structure. Even before you were conceived in your mother's womb, God had made a plan for your life. So our attitude when we plan should result in this kind of prayer. God, we want your will above everything else. I want your will above my thoughts, above my inner feeling. I want your will to prevail over my life. We are not just asking God to bless whatever we plan. You're not just saying, God, this is my plan, just bless it for me. But whatever we are doing, we want the wisdom of God. We want the wisdom of God to prevail in our life. We want to move by the direction of God. So when you're praying and seeking the face of God, you're saying, Lord, I want your will. Lord, I want your timing. Lord, I want your guidance. Lord, I want you to influence my thoughts. And I want you to keep my heart to be tuned to yours. That's why Jesus Christ said to us that there is nothing that I do not see the Father do. Everything that I do, I inquire from my Father. I seek the face of my Father. That's why when Jesus was going to appoint his disciples, he didn't just appoint them like that. He sought the face of God. He sought the plan and the will of God. God designed every one of us with an ability. And that ability, he designed and put something inside of us that we will be able to take care of situations around our lives. That's why even in giving of resources into our hands, or our talents, our time, and our treasure, God said he has given unto every man in accordance to his own ability. Every one of us, we have a potential inside of us. God has planned something in us. God has designed us to do something to accomplish his divine purpose. And the moment God created Adam and placed Adam in the Garden of Eden, in the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. The moment God placed man in the Garden of Eden and God instructed man to take care of the garden, planning began. Planning became essential to us. And when man failed from his glory, planning became much more important in our lives. And that's why Paul the Apostle said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. So be very careful. When I tell you to be very careful, that means I'm telling you, be a good planner. Make sure you don't just do things anyhow. Whatever you do, plan out your timing. Plan out your season. I've told us this, you can lose money, you can lose your money, you can lose your property. But if you waste away time, you will never recover time. Time is of essence. And you must have the ability to plan your timing, to plan your season. And so be very, very careful. Not just careful, but very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Understand what the plan of God is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. This verse of the scriptures warns every one of us not to be foolish. There are so many foolish people. I was reading a novel on the Uncommon Achiever, a book that was written by Mike Murdock. And he made reference to 1959, some students graduated from a university. And they made statistics of all the students that graduated from that university. And they discovered that 97% of all the students that graduated from that university never fulfilled their dreams and their destiny. And then they underlined the major reason why. They had an ambition, they had a dream, but they were never accomplishers of their dreams and ambitions. Why? Because they never planned their lives while they were in college. And only the 3% of the students that were in the university fulfilled their dreams and their desires for life. Why? Because while they were still in their 100 level and 200 level, they were strategic planners. And then secondly, they adopted mentors. They sat down on the people that shaped up their lives, that shaped up their thinking, that shaped up their reasoning. And that's why Paul the Apostle said, there are so many foolish people. You see so many people born in life, but they never get to accomplish their lives. It's not that they don't own certificates. It's not that they've not sat down around wise people, but they end up foolishly in life. Why? Because they are not careful enough to develop their lives. And that's why Paul said, he warned every child of God. He said, be wise and don't be a fool. When it comes to natural organization, he said, be a strategist. God is a strategist. God is a planner. Every second, every minute of God's timing is well planned out. Planning is a necessity. Planning is a must in the life of every one of us. Planning helps us to be aware and makes the most of the opportunity and the privileges that God gives us. The opportunity that God provides in our life. It takes planning for you to develop your skill. It takes planning for you to be able to read. It takes planning for you to be able to develop your children. It takes planning for you to be able to work well for your home. It takes planning for you to be able to work well in your place of work. Planning, it gives us and creates an opportunity and provides us with the potential to develop the gift of God in our lives. The key to make plans succeed is first of all seeking the face of God. And that's why throughout our retreat we've been concentrating, apart from the purposeful living, we state more on prayer the prayer power. Because we know that all successful men and women that have changed history, I keep saying this over and over until it sticks to your mind and until it sticks to your heart and until it gets hold of your understanding, that men that changed and brought about revolution in the world and changed history were men and women that sought the face of God. And that's why Isaiah said, seek God while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Seek the face of God, because that is the only way we can experience the redemptive power of God upon our lives. When we seek God for discernment, when we seek God to understand the ways and the plans and the purposes of God, it will be the greatest tragedy in the life of an able mind. In your life, after sitting under such word, hearing teachings that are developing you, and yet you're not developing in life. It's going to be a tragedy of tragedies. One of our members here was with me in my office, and he made a remarkable statement, and I love that statement. He said, I follow the notes, I follow the teaching, and I have been changed and totally transformed. But he made a statement. He said, while I was going through the statistics of the men in the men fellowship, I was so, let me use the word, very disappointed. And I asked myself, what are they really hearing? What are they really learning? This is a college. This is a training institute. Packaging you for success. What you are not, you will become. This is moving you to a ladder, to a higher ground in life. Some of you may not have the opportunity here to use 50,000 naira to buy a book. But I buy the book and compress it in 1 hour for you. So that when you stand anywhere, you don't have a reason to say, I have not been to school. God gives us the privilege to acquire knowledge. Now, if I didn't come with this newspaper to tell you already what God is already doing, most of you don't even know. Put your hands on your head. Said in the name of Jesus, every dolo spirit, get out of my mind. Hallelujah. There is that devil that makes you to feel you know when you don't know. Show me students who come into the lecture hall while the lecturer is lecturing and they behave as if they know. They are the students that fail. If you want to succeed all the time, you empty yourself of your preconceived idea. Come in with an empty mind. And as the word is being spoken, the word will be inscribed on your mind. That's why you come in with notes. Because even if you don't know how to read, you know how to write A, B, C, D. You are writing. You are developing yourself. You are developing your spelling ability. Your ability to pronounce. Planning. The key to make us succeed. Now, let me say something here. And that is one thing I'm praying for you. Knocking it out of your mind. You are not going to be like a Nigerian. You're going to be like a heavenly citizen. Nigerians have a lot of notes on their shelf, but they are bad implementers. Great talkers, bad players. So, what are the biblical plans, the biblical basis for planning? Number one, there are so many major and many reasons why God has spoken in the scriptures biblically why we should plan. Number one, planning helps to enable every one of us to have the best of God. Planning helps to enable God's best for us. That's number one. God wants only the best for you. God wants the best for his children. And we can only enjoy the best of God when we are in the center of God's own plan. We free ourselves to enjoy the best of God for our lives. In Psalm 20 and verse 4, God tells us in Psalm 20 and verse 4, God's plan is to give the best to his children. And the way you can enjoy the best of God, if you understand the plan of God for your life. Turn with me there. Psalm 20 and verse 4. The Bible says, grant thee according to thy own heart and fulfill all thy plan. God's plan is to see us enjoy the desires of our hearts. He wants to be at the center of our planning. He wants to be at the center of the planning for our family, of our businesses and of our work. Number two, God's word teaches that we should plan. The plans of the diligent, the Bible says, lead to profit. That's the word of God. The plan of the diligent. A man that plans well will enjoy profit. But a person that does not plan well will have losses in his life. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 5. The plan of the diligent leads to profit. The slightest thing in your life should be well planned out. Proverbs 21 and verse 5. The thoughts, the plan of the diligent, carefully analyzing what you're doing, tends only to plenteousness. But everyone that is hasty, only to waste. People that are hasty without a good planning, they lose out so much. But the one that is diligent, they take out their time and they plan their own personal life, personal dealings, whatever business you're doing. Number three, planning means anticipating cost and the consequences. Whether it is in your marriage, whether it is in your relationships, whether it is in your ministry, whether it is in your business, it is anticipating the cost. What is it going to cost me to serve God? What is it going to cost me to sustain a stable home? What is it going to cost me to raise my children? What is it going to cost me in this environment where I am? What is it going to cost me to be stable in my work with God? What is the consequences? What are the price that I will have to pay? That's why Jesus said, anyone that will want to follow me must be a good planner. He must count the cost and must count the consequences of his action. If you don't count the cost, you lose out. So planning is anticipating what is the cost. You plan against next month at the presence of God. You plan against next year. God planned the death of Christ. God planned the resurrection of Christ. God planned the ascension of Christ. God planned the end of the world. Everything we see in life is falling in line with the plan of God. Plan out your life as you stay in the presence of God. Are you a young girl, a young boy? You're 15 or 14 years old. This is a good time for you to begin to plan out your life. If all that your parents are giving you is 1,000 in a month, you can plan out your life with a 1,000. Check out the cost. Check out the consequences. You can overtake the errors of your parents because you're a good planner. Can I tell many of you young people here that your parents are giving you 500 at the end of the month? You can save something and say that by the age of 18, I want to buy a plot of land. Count the cost. Sit down and check out. Don't just live your life anyhow. Some of us already are about to get married. You're not yet married. Develop your life as if you're married. Leave as if you got children. Don't behave because you're not yet married and you don't have a child, so you live anyhow. Plan. If your dream is to have four children, begin to plan out now. You know, I've always said this. A child that is born in a family and is the third born or the fifth born in a family that goes back into the same errors and mistakes of his elder one is a stupid child. Your senior ones are to make mistakes so that you don't fall into the same trap. Learn from that mistake. Learn from the mistakes of your mother. Learn from the mistakes of your father. My father was 45 years and he never got anything, you say to yourself. I'm not just going to be like that. My mother was 40 years old and there was nothing. She couldn't raise the family well. I'm not going to be like that. You plan out. The Bible says these things are written for our learning and for our admonition. That's why the Bible has written their mistakes, their failures, and their successes. You learn from it. You learn from people that have gone to college. You'll be a very stupid boy or stupid girl that is going into the university still believing that your degree is what you're going to look for a job. You'll be a stupid boy. Go to the university to acquire knowledge. But while you are in the university, to spend 4 or 5 years, develop your skill. One of the members, Dr. Sule, told me, I was discussing with him on some admission. And one of the greatest things that brought joy in his response to me, he said that the curriculum of the university has been changed. Now they are developing a curriculum that makes the student to think on how he can be a personal employee. Be able to do things by himself. That's the direction of study. But then there's something so striking to me, he said. He said, this year, the University of Jos got over 20 applications, 20,000 applications of students that want to go to the university. And only 5,000 got through. Why we need so much university? But we are trusting God that we will have productive universities. You're not just going to study chemistry and come out and disturb everybody for a job. You go and study carpentry and come out with a master's degree in furniture making. Can I hear the loudest amen to that? You're not just going to the university and study and come out and say, I have a BA in physics. Physics that you cannot do physics anything. I told you of a student here that said he studied electrical engineering. I just gave him a simple electrical thing and he couldn't fix it. He said, I was not taught. You spend 4 or 5 years studying a subject. Planning. So that by the 4th year, you're coming out of the university, you know what to do. You won't be disturbing everybody and saying, I don't have a job and all of that, because we have a planless society. Planless people that crave for money but don't want to labor for the money. Everybody wants salary increase but no productivity. I was sharing with my wife while we were on the plane. The plane was so empty, there are no passengers. And I said, because there are no businesses. We need to create businesses where people will be flying in and out. A civil service environment. Everybody wants to be with the white collar job. Tie a tie. That's why you see even a field engineer is tying a tie. You see the minister of works wearing babariga. What works is he doing? Misplaced priorities in life. I tell you, Nigerians are very good people, but they are the most very stubborn people to lead. Very good people, but very stubborn. You're showing them the simpler thing that will make their life better. They want the suffering one. Listen here. I'm saying this with passion in my spirit. China was nowhere with us. China should not be. Because China are idol worshippers. Chinese don't believe in God. They don't believe in God, but they believe in our principles. They borrowed the principles of the Bible, built their country, built their nation, and they have overtaken us. We that believe in God but left God behind. Because you have rejected knowledge, I have also rejected you. We like borrowing, all right? Right? Borrowing. Don't want to stretch our brains. A white man can come here and spend 100 years without a salary anywhere. He's thinking on how to change the environment. Our own, the slightest thing they do, their eyes are begging for money. Money, 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 money. Somebody singing church is looking for money. Somebody plays a keyboard is looking for money. Somebody cleans your shoe is looking for money. Somebody does what he's supposed to do is looking for money. I was just meditating in the plane, looking at the privilege because of the passion to give people opportunity in life to succeed. Ebomi today has in under his workmanship today over almost 100 people that are employed, that are working here. Our salary is hundreds of thousands every month. Now, can you imagine? Just because of the passion to see that people find something to do. I may not give you all the millions, but I've given you the sense of belonging. If all Nigerians can think that way, how many people will be on the street? Now, can you imagine somebody not thinking through that it cost this man to create an environment for me to serve, and he's messing up stupidly? Or the woman is coming late to work, or she's coming to the classroom late to teach. Now, if I close down Ebomi International School, it does not cost me anything. I'm not going to lose anything. But who's going to be the loser? The people that are working. Now, let me show you something in the newspaper. Shell is shutting down its office in Warri. Shutting down the office in Warri, 20,000 workers are losing their job. 20,000 workers multiplied by 10. That's how many? That's 2 million families, 2 million individuals will go hungry. Because to every person working, there are more than 10 people depending. And you don't appreciate to grow the small business, the canteen a woman set up, and she employ you, she's paying you 5,000. Check out how much is the profit. She does not make a profit of 6,000. She's earning and paying you 4. She's making only 2,000. And then at the end of the year, she will look for money to pay for the office. You're not appreciative. You are destroying even that same business. How can we grow as a nation? How can we grow as a people? The Bible says in the book of Nehemiah, and they had the heart to work. The Lord will give you the heart to work. A woman, can you check out? We are on the plane, and the young man that God used to favor us, and we sat on the business class, me and my wife, Matthew, he stood beside us and began to share with us how much it costs. You know what? I appreciated his way of thinking. Because other people will be complaining about Arik Air. They're not getting so much pay over head costs. Oh, we're not getting held this. Oh, we're not getting held that. But the young man stood and began to tell us and said, it's very expensive to run an airline. Now he told us, he said, the last time, because when I'm flying across the globe, I join Arik. He's always on that. And then he told me, he said, can you imagine from Nigeria, if they're going to Joburg, South Africa, there must be people, three set of hostesses or cabin crew. One on ground, one waiting for the arrival of the plane to join, and then the ones that are coming from the journey. On each plane,
How many people did we count? 27 people or so on one plane per day. Multiply that per day by the allowances. The fuel, like when we flew coming from Lagos to Jos, there were just few people in the plane. Can you imagine the cost? The boss now will have to calculate how to sustain the workers. Somebody is carrying your headache, yet you're not appreciative. Because you don't know the pain. We must come to the point where we plan. We know what it takes. That's why when you go to school, they demand of you to go for ITF. You see ITF? Industrial attachment? So that you can feel the pain of developing a society. You think that starting a business to make it successful is easy? Or you think running a ministry like this is that easy? You think it's holding microphone? Go and try it. And gather 20, 200 people. Sustain them for 3 years and see what it takes. Appreciate in planning. You plan out your life. Plan out your destiny. Don't become a liability because of your planless life. Somebody's earning, you're earning such money. You just buy any kind of thing you want to buy that comes through your mind because you're single. A planless life. Lift your two hands to God. I speak to every one of you. And I'm saying this to all the men around Nigeria that are watching this telecast and listening to this message. That every demon of killing a nation that has been built into us, very religious people were very bad in sustaining businesses, sustaining destiny. I command that nature to be rooted out of your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Nigeria needs the hammer to crush that perspective. That's why you're having the kidnappers and the 419s calling themselves believers. Do you know that there are 419s that are fasting? It is only in this people that are well knowledgeable. Nigerians are intelligent people. I wish their intelligence is channeled towards the right thing. Very intelligent people. I think I told you one story here. That there was a scanner that was developed to arrest people at the airport. Because of the way people were, this scanner arrested virtually everybody. But when the Nigerian came, he stole the scanner. The scanner couldn't scan him. Very intelligent people. I pray for you today that the wisdom of right thinking that will bring right result, the Lord will release it into your life in the name of Jesus. Say it loud and clear. Heavenly Father, I receive the spirit of productivity to the glory of your name. Can I hear the loudest amen? Look at the shirt, the clothes I'm wearing. The cloth I'm wearing is leaf. It's banana leaf. Somebody thought through. How many banana leaves do we have? What you use your banana leaf for is for my money. And then to fly aeroplane, which is. I told you the story of what happened in France. They had an executive meeting. And one of the Africans flew. They saw a jet they have never seen before. And then he got into the meeting. At the end of the meeting, he used the same jet to come back. So they decided to follow him to Africa. To ask him and said, "Wow, when did you invent that aeroplane we want to buy?" He said, "You want to see it? Follow me." And then he took them behind his house and he showed them banana leaf. He said, "That's my aeroplane." The white man which develops their nation, the black man which destroys their country. I think I shared with you this story, what happened in Bishop Katun's village. Government came and developed and made a bridge. At the end of the bridge, and they commissioned the bridge. By the time the people wake up from sleep, the bridge was beside witches. Lift your hands to God. Say, Father! Every household witchcraft in my family holding us down, I chase you by fire. Use your mouth and your hands and begin to pray. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Pray with me and say, Father, I receive the Spirit to move higher than where I am. I want to think like the child of God. I want to think like a kingdom citizen. I want to be a builder of my nation. I want to be a builder of my society. Can I hear the loudest amen? Amen. You will not be the generation that want to have a harvest without farming. You will not be the generation that will not labor for you to enjoy the labor. I prophesy over all the young people, because 60% of all of you are young people here. I pray for you here that the errors of your fathers, your uncles, your parents, you're not going to fall into that error. 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 You will walk in an environment of 5,000. And by the time you're clocking 35, 40, you will say, glory be to God. I was part of the success story. Not this society. Somebody's walking here. Tomorrow he jumps there. Next tomorrow he jumps there. Next time he jumps there. No future. And the man is already 45. He's already 50. Because you have energy, you think you're still young. You are 50. No focus. Jumping from one job to the other. And the most painful thing in this country is even people that don't have degree at all. They are the worst. Duke certificate, National Secondary School, Fatima Tarani. Very difficult to be controlled. They don't have a paper, yet they will not settle down. Planless society. That's why politicians are using you. They use you and dump you. Planless, Patricia. Planless people. You're always rallying around politicians for little kobo. Why don't you use your hands for dignity? There is a saying, there is dignity in labor. When a man comes back home, at the end of the day, he has worked. There is fulfillment. In Kachi Abinchinera, there is fulfillment. But in Kachi Abinchinera, Goma, that is rest labia. People that work harder, they live healthier. Have you tested it? Go and try it. Go and be sleeping. Say they should make a garden for you to be sleeping 24 hours. You will become sick. Let them be feeding you with chicken every day. You will become sick. Lift up your hands. This year, no Ebomite, no Ebomite will be jobless. This year, no Ebomite will be jobless. Every one of you, you will get into something doing in the name of Jesus. Planning your life. planning your life. Planning means anticipating the cost and the consequences. Let me wrap up with this word in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. To give thought to their ways. Planning, prudent people, they know where they are going. They know where they are going. Planning helps them to get there. Every mistake is always revealed on their plan sheet. On the planning sheet, they get all the errors and the mistake. They save themselves the cost. They save themselves the pain. They save themselves the physical waste they will have in the real life. That goes in their book. That goes in their paper. Let me say this, if this is what I'm going to say to somebody here. Wise persons, wise people calculate the hard and the hidden cost behind everything they do. They calculate the hard and the hidden cost of whatever they want to do. Jesus Christ said that himself in the book of Luke chapter 14 and verse 28 to 23 to 33. Would a man build a house and not sit down and count the cost and the consequences of what he's going to do? Finally, planning produces favor. Planning produces favor. When God gives us understanding, we gain favor with men. We gain favor with men because we are principled, we are strategic in what we do. We think 3 days, 4 days, 5 days to the time. Every employer, every person that employs people, he will want to see people that think, thinkers, that process through their thinking every second. Processing their thoughts in line with his dream. When God gives you understanding, you win favor. Joseph had understanding, he won favor. Daniel had understanding, he won favor. Esther had understanding, she won favor. You will always win favor with your boss. Always win favor with men. Let me say this. Something came through my mind. Some of us here that are here today, you may be serving in a particular place. The pastor of my mother's church, the Apostolic Church, in the 70s, she was a young girl, a young lady that was serving. And because of what was going on, my mother took an appointment to work with her. And she was working with this woman, never paid. She was selling. She would be so hungry and thirsty, she cannot pick one drop of water to drink. Laboring for this woman from barrack, she would trek to get to the shop. Pastor Buba at that time used to come with his motorcycle. Some of the times he's the one that would bring lunch to her or dinner. Mama would be in that shop. And you will see people will be lining up. Mama, 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 mama. Everybody wants to buy from her. My mother will make kunuzaki. She's the one that introduced it. But she never pocketed a kobo and said, I am the one that brought the kunuzaki. She knew the shop is not hers. But at least at the end of the month, the woman was giving her a penny. That penny will not do anything, but it was doing something. Now hear the story. The pastor was transferred from Maiduguri. They were going to go to Abeokuta. And then Mama, the woman came to Mama and said, Mama, all these years I have checked you. Since you came into this shop, I had no freezer. Because of your sales, I bought freezer. Because of your sales, I became a major dealer with Pepsi Cola. Now, Mama, we are going. What do you want? And Mama said to the lady, whatever you say. And the woman said, Mama, this number of months you're going to work for me. After this, the shop is your own. Now follow me. Some of the women here may serve under some people without what you think. But you're sincere. You're honest. You are appreciative. Heaven is taking note of it. A day of compensation is coming. Finally, the woman sold the place to my mother. Left the left for Abeokuta. 1 month later, Mama became a major dealer with Coca-Cola. She was given the certificate as a major dealer in Maiduguri in those days. And that shop multiplied itself. Line were reaching out. Mama used that money to train her children. Faithfulness in somebody's own property. Some of us were selling in a shop. Then you were carry the child in a quick get out. You carry and say Zona Kanachi. And then in the evening, in the afternoon, you're hungry, you carry Coca-Cola. You are eating your future in your today. And then when the madam comes and she's asking for the bill of what you have done, you say, my madam is too hard. Wise, prudent people. Have you seen a man that is diligent in his work? He will stand before kings. Let me tell you this. Some of you are working in a restaurant. If your madam do not ask you to take anything to eat, don't eat. Some of us, we even our children will come from school. That is where they will have their lunch and dinner. You careless. How is my madam going to succeed? How is this shop going to survive? I pray for all of you today. Every devil of backwardness, I command that devil to get out of your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Go and study the history of successful people. There was the story of the man that served one of the richest men in this country. For 25 years, he was the driver. 25 years, he maintained his position. Cleaning, doing housework, doing everything. 25 years, was never rewarded with anything. The boss was watching him. Not knowing that in the will of the man, the driver had 10% of all his property. When his boss died, the children came and said, we want to settle you. You have served our father well. He said, where shall I go? I will continue to serve. So while they were searching their father's will, they discovered the will. And when they found the will, they discovered that 10% of all their father's wealth is going to the driver. Overnight, the driver became a millionaire. Faithful. Faithfully serving. There is such a spirit of quick. Microwave. Lift your two hands to God. Pray this prayer and I bless you. Father, I am believing you for a miracle. In the year 2013, every devil that will make me not to do the right thing to fulfill my destiny, I cast them out of my life. Father, I receive the grace to be a good planner for my generation, for my children's children. Can I hear the loudest amen? How can you imagine somebody that is working in the bank? Can you imagine that? Person is working in the bank. You know that in the bank, no gratuity or no pension. Can you imagine that man work in the bank for 20 years? 20 years working in the bank, yet does not have one plot of land. Stupid man. You are working in the bank. No That's why the army generals were pleading with the army council. Extend our retirement so that we can begin to buy land. General, you grew through the ranks. Mevaru gear. Mata. Mbanzenyara. God has brought you under this commission. And every day I'm going to use the divine whip to drive certain things out of your life. Because this is your year of glory. This is your year of fulfillment. God is watching every one of you here. If you can get this word, heaven will assign you for something greater. Remember, it was because of the lifestyle of David that somebody recommended him for his position. It wasn't David who made the announcement. Somebody was watching him. As I'm talking to you, somebody is watching you. Somebody is watching your action and is taking record. And let me tell you the truth, he is the one that has your destiny on his hand. If he doesn't announce you, pray from now to Methuselah. Heaven will not answer. Because God have channeled your future in his hand. The man Saul, he went through and told Saul and said, I found the kind of person you need. And Saul said, bring him. And he brought him. The man was not disappointed. David showed up that what he was recommended for, he was really it. You remember the case of Joseph? Even though God blocked the mind of the man that was supposed to remember him because of an attitude, when God was through dealing with Joseph, God had to use that man also to fulfill his plan over the life of Joseph. Look at Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He came down from heaven, but God couldn't announce him to the world. He had to use a human vessel. There is a human being that carries your destiny. How much you work on your life and follow divine principles will determine how you're going to be exposed. Bow your heads in prayer. Wherever you are tonight, you represent a family. You may know your brothers or your sisters that have blown up the plan and the due process of God. The mistakes we made, you, our children, you're making the same mistake. You, our younger ones, you're coming on the same thing. When are we going to break the cycle? When are we going to stop the nonsense? Everyone that is here, I want you to take time. I'm going to give you 5 minutes to bow down on your knees and pray. Talk to God. I don't want to be a useless Christian. I don't just want to be spiritual. I want to be productive. I want to have a meaningful life, oh Lord. Whether you are 100 years here, it's never late. God did it with Sarah. God did it with Abraham. Some of us, God will correct us while we are young. Some of us, God is going to correct us while we're old. There is no witch that got the power to stop you as a child of God. You cannot be sitting under this grace and devils will be reigning over you. Get it right. He that obeyeth and doeth the commandment of the Lord, the Bible says, and he saveth his own soul. There are some of you that are 10 years that are hearing my voice now. You're going to be the Messiah of your family. There are some of you young people, your mother is only 40 years, but already she's behaving like a 70-year-old mother. You are the first son. You are only 20 years old or 21 years old. Every responsibility is on your shoulder. Your brothers are all irresponsible. I want you to pray for yourself. I want you to repent on behalf of your family. Lord, I want to be a good and honest man. Deliver me from the wrong spirit that is destroying our country. Nigeria is going down and down and down in the statistics of the world. Great people, but destroying themselves. Americans will not be the one that will change us. Britain will not be the one that will change us. Our economy is more stronger than their own. We have a better society than Americans. But the people that don't appreciate timing, don't appreciate timing, don't appreciate discipline. The Bible says stripes are prepared for the back of fools. If God needs to whip us, we need it. How can we have millions of Christians all over Nigeria? Businesses are dying. You cannot commit a business into the hand of brother and say, brother, run this business. The story will come back that the business is dead with much debt. There are professors that want to run businesses, but they cannot do it anymore because people are killing businesses. There are medical doctors that want to run businesses, but they cannot run it because people are killing it. Let's begin with ourselves in this house. No Ebomai this year should be jobless, but we must be functional. Father, deliver me from my own way. Deliver me from my own mindset. Make me a servant. Make me a servant. Give me the servant heart. Father, give me the servant heart. Why Nehemiah succeeded was he had men that were not looking for pay, but people that were willing to labor, to work at the point of death without pay. That's why he succeeded in rebuilding the land. During the recession in America, women gave up. They were all in the factory while their men were at the war front. While their men were fighting, they were all in the war front, giving their life to rebuild their nation. Paul Youngerchurch said, when God gave him the vision of turning the economy of South Korea, people gave themselves without pay. Women were cutting their hair and they were bringing it so that it can be sold to sustain the church. Father, forgive us for the wrong mindset. Deliver us from the beggary spirit. We are ingratitude. We are not grateful people. That's why we are complainers. That's why we are murmurers. How much is she even paying me? How much is he even paying me? I won't take this nonsense. How much have I been paid? Have mercy on us, oh God. a people that easily get offended when they are corrected in the place of work. Father, change us as a people. I want you to invite the Holy Spirit into your personal life. I'm talking not to all the multitudes here. I'm talking to one person. Invite the Holy Spirit. Invite the Holy Spirit. I surrender to you. I surrender to your grace. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.